I'm going for an award on the number of authors for the opening slide. Basically, as a soil fertility person, my goal is not to be farming these plots. So often I'm sort of a symbiotic or perhaps parasitic scientific inquiry going along with somebody that's minding the crop from day to day. So I appreciate all of my co-authors. Nick Andrews, is Nick here? Nick's in the back. Nick is the OSU Organic Fertilizer and Cover Crop Calculator Guru. I supply information and Nick turns it into usable information. So you can catch Nick's talk tomorrow if you're interested in the calculator. All right. Page down. All right. So I'm going to talk a little bit about nitrogen only because in our particular world of vegetable cropping systems, we're on fields that have a legacy of pretty intensive fertilization for conventional crops. So usually phosphorus, potassium are not limitations on crop production. I'm going to be talking about a couple aspects of what I'm calling the nitrogen management dance. Decided to call it a dance this time because actually we have these schemes we call plans and they have kind of this endpoint and they're kind of almost military in the way they go at things. So the green things there are what we're talking about today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the calculator first. So the OSU Organic Fertilizer and Cover Crop Calculator is a fancy word for a really nice spreadsheet. And the spreadsheet includes places for input information on what it takes to grow the cover crop, economic kinds of information. Also has built into it a couple of regression equations that I'll explain in a minute. And the purpose of it really is for the farmer to be able to choose among various options for supplying nitrogen. So I wanted to explain the highly complex Sullivan incubation method for cover crops, compost, manures, and soil itself. We found over the years that we've tried more elaborate methods, but we keep coming back to this because as you go through graduate students, this appears to be the most constant method from graduate student to graduate student. Basically, we're taking soil out of the field, using it as soon as possible, adding our amendment fresh. We're not drying it out or anything. In the case of cover crops, we have lots of cutting boards and knives and weigh it up, put it in the bags. We're using this highly technical breather tube called a straw to keep the bag open a little bit. We started using these freezer bags because they're more impermeable and keep the samples moist for a longer period of time. So Nick's going to talk about the calculator in detail tomorrow, so I won't go into that, but it's over at the Hilton, looks like 1 p.m. Am I going backwards? Yes, I am. Okay. All right, so this is the justification for the elaborate incubation method that initially when we used this with manures and compost and we compared our incubation numbers to numbers that we would get out of the field using the full-blown nitrogen fertilizer equivalency kind of a method, we found that we got about the same estimates either way. So that's the reason why. So here's our method of predicting nitrogen. It's based on the total nitrogen level in the input. So in this case, we're talking about various organic amendments, manures, and compost. What we found was that there's not that much variation really in carbon. So the total nitrogen acts as kind of a surrogate for carbon-nitrogen ratio. So if you think about it, organic nitrogen at about 2%, that's about a carbon-nitrogen ratio of about 20. So moving from the manures and compost to cover crops more recently, this was some work that was done with different mixtures in the lab. The red line is a line that describes a relationship that was reported by Merle Vigil and Dave Kissel back a while ago. They were working in an entirely different system. The points there are our numbers, and you can see they're not too far off of what was being reported by Vigil and Kissel. So as far as the nitrogen management, I want to show you a few examples where we've looked at whether the calculator gives us a reasonable estimate in the field, whether it correlates with the yield and crop uptake, and whether it's applicable to different vegetable crops. So we're going to talk a little bit about this organic broccoli trial. These are the real people doing the work here, John Luna and his graduate student, Amy Garrett. John's a pilot, so he flew over and took these nice pictures of the trial. In the upper left there, that's the cover crop phase. Down below is the broccoli phase. And so this was actually managed as a organic broccoli production system, and the broccoli was sold into the organic market. So for the soil nitrate monitoring, the part that I worked with, we took samples between rows. That was because the feather meal, which was being used on some of the plots, was in the rows. So we compared the incubation numbers to the numbers we got from the field at about 65 days after incorporation of cover crop residue, and we found a reasonable relationship that we were seeing approximately 90% of what was predicted actually showed up as nitrate by the middle of the growing season. End of season, this is comparing the soil nitrate mid-season to the final yield. Also getting a nice relationship between really, really deficient levels of nitrogen. Because these are all unfertilized plots, we didn't actually get up to the maximum for the experiment. But you can see that if you kind of extend things out here, we're coming up to sufficiency at about 30 parts per million. We went out and took uptake samples at harvest time to look at how much nitrogen was actually in the crop and relate that to our mid-season measures of nitrate. Also found relationships that indicate that out here around 30 parts per million is where things are adequate. Some other crops, earlier we worked with sweet corn. It's getting kind of repetitious, but 25, 30 parts per million of nitrate, that's kind of the level that pre-side dress nitrate test is most states that use that test report. This is table beets. In this one, we had a trial which Nick was taking care of, and it had both feather meal inputs and cover crop inputs, and you can see that those combinations come up with different levels of nitrate, and we approach yield that's leveling off around 30 parts per million of nitrate. Okay, so that's what we're seeing in this is that mid-season soil nitrate testing is giving us a reasonable way of seeing whether all of our inputs are adding up to something that is adequate for our vegetable crops. I wanted to spend a little bit of time and talk about some new work we're doing. Project hasn't really gotten underway, but I have some older data to show about mineralization rates. And again, these come from trials where we're doing a little bit of mineralization work in the midst of a larger kind of a trial. So our questions are, you know, what really happens to mineralization rates on organic farms as you do this soil building process, adding more organic sources? And then kind of what are the typical rates that we get to in our particular systems? So if we look at those incubations in the lab, what we see is that if we go to an organic farm that's been there for 5 years or more, they're past the transition phase, that we see rates something on the order of one part per million per day if we take a sample that is 12 inches from the field and incubate. In contrast to that, if we go to our experiment stations where organic inputs are not used because of their conventional management, the rates that we see with those soils are about half of the organic farm rate. And this is, we take these samples at a time of year when there hasn't been anything recent go on, like cover crops or manure, or so it's kind of a baseline rate, as I call it. So here's an example of how the mineralization rates change in a system where we actually know what the inputs are. So down there at the bottom, you can see that's the baseline experiment station, no love mineralization rate. With 1 year of separated dairy solids, we're up here, and with 4 years, we're up here. And these are what we're seeing on the commercial farms that we work with. And we've done this different kinds of studies. This is kind of typical for what we see. So in conclusion, we seem to find reasonable agreement with the OSU organic fertilizer and cover crop calculator, which is kind of a general screening tool. It's not a full-fledged model by any means. But we're seeing reasonable agreement between predictions and these mid-season nitrogen levels, nitrate. The levels that are sufficient in organic look similar to levels that we associate with sufficiency for the PSMT in corn. Soil building definitely works, and the mineralization rates we're seeing on our organic farms are in the neighborhood of 2 to 2.5 times what we see on conventional kinds of systems. In the future, my project's going to be to make a bold step of combining weather data with this end mineralization rate constant kind of a thing, and basically just make predictions as to if you have a typical rate, what your accumulated nitrate should be on May 15th or June 15th. The idea is to stimulate people's interest in soil testing. Not that we're going to be right, but it'll give them something to compare against. So I think my time's almost up. Okay.